kind of what Javier said. You know, the only reason why we're even here as coaches, as a board, as a group, is for the kids. And I don't want people to lose sight of like the long-term objective. You know, as Javi said, I've been very fortunate. Like in July, I got the unique opportunity to train Luis Nani, who's won the Premier League, the Champions League, and the European Championship. He actually reached out to me. And the key thing that I found from him was when I was talking to him on the phone, I was like, hey, what kind of training do you want? He goes, fundamentals, technique. And I'm like, you're a guy that's played at the highest level and that's what you want to work on? I'm like, okay. So we did very basic stuff. So where I want to go with this is we're here for kids. We want to develop. And the board has asked me to come in to try and basically set a curriculum to help mandate the right path for kids moving forward. And that's what we want to do. So if you've ever, and if you do, go look me up. You'll see, you know, my main goal is to help kids get out of here. We have a system that doesn't really develop kids. And they came to me and said, we want to put a path forward to help kids achieve dreams in the future, whether it's leadership roles in the future, whether it's maybe going to college, maybe it's above that. And that's what we're trying to do as a group. So in the binder that you have is a lot of content that we put together. I'm going to kind of walk through a piece by piece, a little, not too much, but just kind of give you an overview. So if you go towards the back, it should be a purple tab. It says age development, or yeah, age development. And this is the kind of overview of the curriculum that we're going to do. It's not to a sense of you have to do a certain exercise or training session. We have guidelines that we want you to follow. So we want you to try and implement this in the spring. So this spring, so for example, you can see the first page. Actually, not the first page. It's not going to help you. Go back a couple of pages. You're going to get to the point where it says U8, U9. That's where we're going to start. So again, this isn't like, hey, you have to do this exercise. It's not that rigid. We want to give you guys flexibility to still make your own decisions. And then, you know, if you have any questions, just let me finish this first part and then you can ask a question. So the idea behind this is, I'm sure you guys have had questions from parents saying, you know, why are you doing this? What are you trying to do? What's the purpose? And with this, this gives you backing from the organization to say, this is why we're doing something. It's to help make your kids better. Like, I have my own organization out in Orlando, and we get questions all the time, like, why are you doing this? What's the point of this? And so I have to have those conversations to say, because our goal is to make your child better at the end of the day. So if we look at the U8 and U9 training session structure, typically most groups train for an hour and a half. I'll get to the warm-up in a second, but let's look at phase 1, 2, 3, and 4. So we want you guys to have structure, but still have the freedom to choose what you want to do as exercises. Now, a couple of things, I put my notes here before I actually get into this, because I got some feedback already, and I came out once, I'm going to come out more to help you guys, but I've been told, and I saw it when I came out the one time, that there's a lot of lines. Kids standing and waiting, and that's one of the worst things that kids can do, because they're going to start goofing off, messing around, punching somebody, not paying attention. So if you're going to use a line, you want to make sure they're not standing there for more than 30 seconds waiting. So if you ever need help with stuff like that, that's what we're here to do. And I'm here to help you guys make those decisions and improve that. And then the second piece comes to, and this is important, two things. You want to make sure that you plan your sessions in advance. I know that's hard because sometimes, you know, you have 12 kids on a team, but then 6 come. And then you're going to have to scratch everything you're doing. Trust me, I've been there. I've done it multiple times. It sucks. But at least if you have a plan, you have an idea of what you want to do, you can always, it's called check and adapt. You can always modify as necessary as you're going through it, if that makes sense. Okay, and then the final piece with that is, this is really big too, because this way you stay more organized, is when you plan your sessions and when you get to the field, you can actually, if assuming you have enough space, you can actually map out everything that you want to do and put it on the field so it's already there. Because a lot of times you'll see, you know, coach will set up the first activity, the kids go get a water break, and then they have to go set up the second activity. But then kids are standing there waiting for 2 or 3 minutes doing basically nothing. And the whole point of this is to make sure they're active, they're engaged, and they're here to have fun and improve. Otherwise, they're just kind of doing nothing, and we don't want that. So if we look at the structure for U8 and U9, the first phase is technical activation. The idea behind this, and you can see it underneath, it says juggling and dribbling. So I came out and did a demo session for the 2015s, right? It was 2015? So I did a demo session for the 2015s. The first 25 minutes that we did, every single child had a ball and they were dribbling inside a box, doing different activities and skill moves and reps. So then in the second part of that activity, I added defenders. So they had to work on protecting the ball and keep it away from the opponent. And then after that, I already had the field set up. So I was able to transition into a 1v1 activity. So if you can kind of see here, phase 1 and phase 2 go hand in hand. So you can easily do technical and coordination together. Phase 3 is a small-sided game, in which we're going to touch on in a second. And this is 1v1 or 2v1s. And if you want later, you can do research on me. We are so big with our organization on 1v1 and 2v1s because that is like the premise of the game. And what I always tell people is, if you have a sequential order, the first thing kids need to learn is core skill, which means just basic ball manipulation. The second one would be dribbling, so how to actually use the dribble. The third one would then be 1v1, so you're going against an opponent now that we have core skill and dribbling skill. And then once you have that, you can teach passing and receiving. And you're going to get a lot of questions from parents because they're always going to say, oh, I want to see my kids pass. I want them to play like Barcelona. We don't have kids at this age on average that can play like Barcelona. It's just not going to happen. So the idea behind this is they're getting multiple reps at 1v1 and 2v1s. And then the final phase is 3v3 or 5v5, or if you'd like, you can continue with 1v1 or smaller sided stuff. Now, again, this is not like, hey, you have to do this exact exercise at this exact time. You have flexibility to still choose what you'd like to do, but this gives a structure so that way we can all say, if a parent has a question, they don't like what you're doing, they can come back to the board, or they can go to G, or they can talk to me, and they can say, I don't like this, or I don't understand why we're doing this. And then we all are on the same page, and we can have your back to say, this is why Coach Javier is choosing to do this, if that makes sense. Are there any questions so far that I can try and answer? Okay, so if we were to look at other ones, I'm not going to go through each one verbatim because we have U10, U11 together, U12, U13, U14, U15, U16, U17. Now, I'm sure somebody will ask this question. This structure is designed for players that are like average and lower skill. If you have a team that's like your U17s that's very, very good, you probably don't have to follow this structure a certain way. Now, another question you might ask is, well, I have a big game or Dimitri Cup this weekend. Do I have to follow this directly? No. So one of the things that we will allow you guys to have the freedom to do is if you know that you have a big tournament this weekend, you can use one of the days to follow this structure, at least part of it. And then the second day you can, you know, set up your game plan and focus on tactics. We still want you to have the freedom to do that, but we want to make sure that kids are practicing and getting better every single day. Any questions with that part too? Great. Okay, so let's look at, we go back to the front, red tab, and you go to the second page, I believe. It says five elements of a training session. I just want to walk through this quickly. So the board has asked me to come in and also do coaching evaluations. So to make sure that we're, again, following the ideas that we want to present with this. And you can see the five things. We have the first one, is it organized? Is there repetition? Is it challenging the kids or at least meeting their level? Four, is it game-like? And then five, is it coaching? So the point behind this is when we come out, myself, G, whoever's doing the evaluations, we can come out and see that we're seeing these five elements from your practice. And our idea is not to berate you or to make you feel bad, but we're here to help you guys improve because some of you guys might have aspirations of wanting to get to a higher level as a coach. We want to make sure that you can do that while helping your kids. Okay, like I've had multiple guys come out and evaluate me, check what I'm doing, give me feedback, and that's one of the greatest tools that you can always have is learning from somebody in a better position than you. And I just don't even know what else to say with that. Like you'll just always get good feedback. So as long as you're trying to do the right stuff, I'm not going to personally knock you. I'm going to give you feedback. I'm going to give you ideas that you could try, but there's always things that you can improve, even myself. So there's many things that you could take away. So if we look at organized, we want to make sure that you know what you're trying to work on. You want to make sure that your field is set up, and this is huge. That way you look prepared and everything. And then I think, KT, you talked about making sure that the field is safe. That is one of the biggest things that you can do because even like within our own organization, kids are always jumping on the freaking goal bar, pulling it. Like that is extremely dangerous. Like we need to make sure that the field is safe for the kids. And then making sure that the intensity level is good. So an example that we had with our own organization, and it was actually my fault, we hired a guy that was super passionate, loved the game. We put him with our under nines. Wrong decision. He should have been with under 15s. So you have to kind of understand like what age group you're actually working with and tailor your session towards their needs, if that makes sense. So like if you're working with young kids like that don't have the skill level yet, there's no reason that you're asking them to do passing. It'd be unreasonable to expect that a nine-year-old that can't dribble a ball to pass a ball. And these are things, again, that we as an organization can do to back you when a parent goes, why aren't you working on passing? We now have a curriculum in place that can help you explain, or at least they can come to us and say, well, I don't understand, and we can break it down. Because like with my own organization, we'll have coaches tell the parents, this is why we're doing this, and they don't like it or whatever the reason is. And then they have to come talk to me. And I'll be like, listen, this is why X, Y, and Z. There's really no other conversation about it. But if they have questions, we'll answer it. But again, that way, if somebody comes complain to you, we can back you and actually help you out in with issues with parents and things like that. Does that make sense? Any questions? Okay, great. Let's see. Lines. Next part, real quick. And just make sure you review this. If you have questions, please ask the board, ask me. I'm more than happy to kind of go through it. If you want to learn stuff, I'm more than happy to give you resources. The next one is coaching interactions. I just want to go through very quickly. Just be very... I want you guys to start really thinking about like how you, again, planning your sessions and how you plan to interact with the kids. Because when you make a topic and you know that you want to work on a specific thing, so let's say it's 1v1 skill, you should kind of have an idea of when you're going to actually make your interactions with the kids. Like when are you going to stop them to implement your coaching point? So there's 7 of them. I'm not going to go through each of them, but one of them would be like give positive reinforcement. So they could be in the middle of the activity and you could say, you know, Benjamin, great job. I like what you're doing. And that reinforces the child to say, hey, okay, coach gave me the feedback. But you don't have to stop the whole practice to tell Benjamin that he did a good job. Next one, and this is really, really good because you get kids to think, is let's say they did something you didn't like. You could then freeze the practice, but then ask questions. So instead of always saying, hey, you need to do X, you could ask the question to try and get them to think about the answer. So if we're going to talk about trying to develop kids to be more successful in the future, we have to give them the freedom to also make their own decisions. And then you might actually be surprised half the time the answer that they give you. They might already answer it, or maybe they thought of something different. So like an example would be, I stopped a session once for my U15s, and I said, well, why didn't you do this? And he's like, well, coach, you're standing on the sideline, but I saw this. And I'm going, well, I didn't think like that because I'm on the sideline seeing this whole thing, but then you're on the field and you see tunnel vision. So we want to try and give kids the freedom to make their own decisions and give them that backing. Okay, so any questions, thoughts, comments that I can try and answer from anybody ahead of time? And there's no bad questions. I won't go into anybody for a bad question if you have one. You can tell me you hate it too. It's okay. It won't be a problem. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. If there's no questions... Well, it depends on what you're working on, but it would be the success ratio. So like example, if you're doing a 1v1, right, and the ball is going out of bounds more than 50% of the time, the space is probably too small, if that makes sense. So I would always gauge on the success or failure ratio of whatever you're trying to work on. So again, using the 1v1 example, if they're dribbling and half the time the ball is going out of bounds versus receiving an end target, you might need to expand the space a little bit. And that kind of goes back to the whole checking and adapting. If you're not getting the result that you want, something's not working. And that's where you can make adaptations on the fly to make small changes. Again, making the space bigger, maybe reducing the number of defenders. Right? And those are things that when you plan sessions ahead of time, you can write, okay, I'm working on 1v1s. The skill level's not super high. I might need to expand the space an extra 5 yards. Good question. Yeah.
When is it?
Cool. Another good question. So my rule of thumb with this, when you're talking about actually running, again, using this example of a passing activity. So like I would jump in to demonstrate. If I want them to do something specific because I know how to do it, then I will jump in to help correct the behavior or whatever I'm looking to achieve. And then what I would do, it depends on if I have an assistant or not, but I like to be in the middle of the practice because that way the kids can hear my voice if I need to give a quick feedback for something. So I'm not in the session running the passing activity. But I'll be in the middle, and I'll really do this if I have an assistant that can be on the outside watching the whole thing. But that way I can, again, give quick pointers, you know, if I need the pass to be harder or if they're using the wrong foot to receive or whatever I'm trying to work on, that way I can give that quick and precise feedback. Yes? Yeah.
How do you keep 10 other kids engaged without them standing in line?
So can you give me an example of what you were trying to work on?
Sure.
Sure.
So I'm trying to teach them where they need to be, cutting off angles, things like that, watching the players, kind of developing this basic skill from the goal. I mean, these kids are standing in the goal box. Like,
nice.
In the goal.
Right. I understand.
So we're going back to basics with my team right now. Very, very basic.
Great.
But I have 10 other kids that are at the attention span of like 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So trying to keep them engaged, we usually do three people on goal, passing, using each other's names, calling out, being available, things like that. But then I have a whole other set of kids in the background, talking, doing whatever it is they're doing. So I'm trying to keep them on page. But
so are the group that you have waiting, are they like next to go, or are they just on the side waiting?
Next to go, yeah.
Okay. So if you have two goalkeepers, you could maybe add a second goal on a, like the opposite side and have them work the other way at the same time. And that way you're getting the reps and then they're not just sitting there. Because I'm guessing that they're probably sitting there because there's a long delay period. Is that fair? Okay. So the idea would be to try and shrink the delay period. Now you might, like when you first run the activity, there might be a little bit of a delay, but hopefully what you're getting is they're understanding the activity and then you can start the second group quicker. So a lot of times what will happen is when I run a practice, like the kids don't quite grasp the concept, so I have to give them that delay. But as they start picking up the details of what they're working on, then I can say, okay, great, next group, the second they get to X pass, you're now going. So that delay is now 20 seconds versus a minute. Because once you get past 30 seconds, kids these days, they go. And what age group do you coach? Okay, so I can connect with you later because I might have some ideas that you could work on shooting that can keep it like higher rep and less delay, if that makes sense. But that was a good question.
And also work with Linda. She's our director of goalkeeping for a reason. And so just doing goalkeeping training on Friday nights is not her only.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're enjoying the podcast and finding valuable information from it. Now, I do have a quick ask of you, and that would be to make sure to follow me on all social media platforms like Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, which is at Kyle C. Wilson Official, and on Twitter, which is The Kyle C. Wilson. And if you could help me do that, that would continue to help reinforce the ideas that I want to continue producing content specifically made for you guys to help educate you. And as always, you know I'm there to help, as I have $23,195 worth of content available for free through my YouTube channel that will answer and help a lot of the problems that you're going through, or at least your child's going through. So if you haven't found that yet, go to the YouTube channel, Kyle C. Wilson Official. And without further ado, let's get back into the episode. Hey guys, I absolutely love that you're checking out and listening to the podcast. And I only have one ask quickly, and that would be if you could please share this podcast with somebody else that you maybe know that is going through the system or struggling to navigate it from the youth soccer perspective. And that would mean the absolute world to me because, as you know, I don't sell anything through the podcast and I don't have any sponsorships. And the more people that I can help, that is my overall objective. So I would absolutely love if you could share this with somebody. Take the 5 seconds to do so by sending it through social media or WhatsApp or whatever way that you like to share content. And I will make sure that I continue to deliver valuable and insightful content for you.